up, everybody? Dr. Joe Camerata here. Now, before we get into the podcast, I had a simple request, and that is if you like our podcast, go ahead and give us a rating of 5 stars. It will only take you 1 second and will really help to spread the strong word that we are talking about here every week on the Cross Continuum podcast. I know you'll enjoy the podcast, so let's get into it, and thank you very much. What is up, everybody? This is Dr. Joe Camerata with the Across Continuum podcast. And I wanted to come on here and read kind of verbatim, but kind of also floating around with my ideas on the latest article that I wrote on our website, which was based on an Instagram post. And I've also made a YouTube video about it, but the YouTube video was short and the article was short. And I feel like this topic, kind of, I can pull on this for a little bit. So I'm going to read what I wrote and then switch to my active voice right now between reading the article. So it's on the term glorified personal trainer, which, you know, gets thrown around a lot. So let's just comment on it here. So what happens when you mix a mainly sedentary patient population with a career field who ostracizes providers prioritizing physical activity? That's kind of the question that we start this article with. And it's a great question because, well, I wrote it, which I'm biased towards it being a great question, but it's also a soapbox that I stand on pretty frequently here and I think needs to be stood on a regular basis, which is just a very inactive patient population, world population, and one that is making a really pretty terrible effect on the morbidity and mortality, the health and longevity of the people and the patient populations that we serve. But there's also a career field who really doesn't lean into exercise nearly enough at the expense of the patient and for the purposes of chasing kind of more short-term benefits and shiny treatment interventions. So there's an unfortunate trend in the physical therapy world that occurs to physical therapists that are exercise forward or heavy on their use of active over passive interventions. They get called glorified personal trainers as a way of denigrating their means of practice, insinuating that leaving out the passive interventions like manual therapy and modalities somehow makes them less of physical therapists. To say the same thing differently, these physical therapists seem to be insinuating that the inclusion of manual therapy and modalities are what makes physical therapy different than personal training. Now, let's leave aside for just a moment the jab at personal trainers that this kind of phrase takes, the glorified personal trainer thing, and kind of probe into the idea of being exercise heavy, I suppose. I don't really see why folks tend to make this big stink about those physical therapists who decide to maybe leave out manual therapy modalities. Like, I'm very aware that manual therapy has some sort of effect, that modalities have some sort of effect, that there is an effect when there is human-to-human contact, that there is an effect when there is some sort of paying attention of a person in a physical manner when they're in front of you or otherwise, right? I'm very aware that this happens. But I'm also aware that there is very questionable kind of mechanism behind why there is an effect. And I get the idea because I'm one of them, one of those glorified personal trainers who sees that there is a questionable mechanism, see that there is maybe this other realm of kind of ways that there is an effect and that we can apply that different mechanism or different realm of reasons that folks are feeling better to something like exercise and being exercise heavy. And then the other part of this is like, I don't know why physical therapists seem to hang on to so tightly the idea that skilled, quote unquote, skilled therapy is the big differentiator here between a physical therapist or not a physical therapist. Right, I know in the practice acts of a lot of states that skilled intervention or skilled work comes from that hands-on practice, which is totally fine. And I recognize that that is a big differentiator on a bureaucratic level and on a legal level. But that still is like a weird line to draw in the sand to say you're a physical therapist or you're not a physical therapist or you're a personal trainer or not a personal trainer. And the only thing that's differentiating us is the fact that we can do hands-on stuff and you can't, right? And I also know that there's a conversation to be had here about scopes of practice, I guess, or about kind of how we are defining our practices, because I know that that's been a problem that I've tried to tackle in the past, that I've had guests on the podcast try and tackle, and I really don't know how to square that circle as far as what defines physical therapy. You know, I don't think that it is the hands-on stuff that defines physical therapy. In this article and in this YouTube video, I kind of point out that what makes us physical therapists is the expert and advanced understanding of the musculoskeletal system, right? Both in it working well and not working well, however you want to define those two things. But I don't feel like the definition of physical therapy rests on the inclusion or exclusion of hands-on care, whether that be massage or joint mobilizations or cavitations, manipulations, or what have you. It that never made things seem more skilled, in my opinion. You know, the cervical manipulation that I used most frequently when I was in the clinic, and a lot of other hands-on techniques, I just learned by watching YouTube, if I'm being honest. I didn't learn it in physical therapy school. I didn't learn that sort of treatment. There was not really any sort of skill involved. I mean, again, it's juxtaposed against the background that I know the human anatomy very well, that I know physiology, that I know kind of where things need to go as far as like end ranges, stuff like that. But again, that's my understanding as a physical therapist of the musculoskeletal system. That's not like the skill of me being as a physical therapist doesn't come from that manipulation. I can do it because I'm a physical therapist, and that's kind of where that bureaucratic line goes. But that cavitation alone doesn't make me a physical therapist. If you have parents out there and you have your children walk on your back and they crack it, that doesn't make them physical therapists, right? A massage therapist isn't a physical therapist. And, you know, to kind of twist this whole conversation around, if I called somebody who is manual heavy a glorified massage therapist, I'm sure that they would not be very happy with that either. And so it's just kind of funny that there's this uncertainty as far as what the definition of physical therapy is, but it seems that with the insult of glorified personal trainer being thrown around, that folks seem to think that they are defining physical therapy as needing to include that hands-on care. And I can certainly see that it's partially probably a grab at scope of practice, right, in the public eye, or even in the state practice act's eye, where we're trying to become independent from, you know, primary care physicians, and we're trying to show that we know what we're doing and things like that. And so we want to kind of grasp onto as many treatment interventions and modalities as possible so that we can kind of set ourselves apart. I understand that. But I don't think that that is a proxy for defining physical therapy as far as scope of practice goes. I don't think that what the State Practice Act tells us we are not allowed to do is defining us, again, as physical therapists. But if I were to argue against myself, if we were to look at somebody like maybe a biomechanist or a kinesiologist or somebody who also has a pretty good understanding of the musculoskeletal system, I wouldn't call them a physical therapist either. And so it is a little bit tricky, but that doesn't really lend itself to justification for calling those of us who lean on exercise glorified personal trainers, just as that doesn't justify those who lean on manual therapy as glorified massage therapists or day spa producers or managers, whatever. So let's return to the article here. The tens if not hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on a doctorate level of education is not won or lost because massage is or isn't included for the plan of care. There is no deterioration of the value of the degree because somebody chooses to prioritize physical activity and exercises in their plans of care. And again, this is just that same sort of thing. Like, what makes us a physical therapist? What makes you a physical therapist? Is it the way that you are manipulating somebody's elbow if they have, you know, medial elbow pain? Is it the way that you're trying to create a program around that same elbow pain that doesn't involve manual therapy at all. No, I think it's the background understanding, the education that you go through, the way that you know the complexities of the musculoskeletal system that allow you to then produce that intervention in a way that you see fit that makes sense, that other people who aren't physical therapists, who don't have that musculoskeletal understanding, wouldn't make it because they just don't get it, right? And there is an air of gatekeeping here where if you don't know the musculoskeletal system like physical therapist does, then you can't really create an intervention plan, whether that's passive or active, because it just isn't going to make sense. And that's kind of what I've been advocating towards those folks that I teach remote management to, or remote athlete management, is folks don't pay you for what you do to them, right? They pay you for what you know and what you know not to do. Because you can go to anybody, literally any day nowadays, you can go to anybody and they can do stuff to you and you'll feel better, right? But the justification for that intervention that they're doing, or unskilled therapy, in my opinion, is probably not backed up by an expert and advanced understanding of the musculoskeletal system. And that's why they come to us, to physical therapists, because we understand injury as best as we can. We understand pain as best as we can. We understand the natural healing phases, as fuzzy as they may be. We understand the anatomy and the physiology. And that allows us to then craft our plans of cares based on what we know about the human, essentially. And so while it can look very different, the delivery of physical therapy, it's the fact that we have that education that makes us physical therapists, right? Tribalism aside, tribalism is unfortunately alive and well in physical therapy. We have the manual therapy crowd. We have the exercise crowd. We have the anti-manual therapy crowd. We have the, you know, we don't really know where to float crowd, and they all kind of butt heads, which is fine, and not at the same time. But if I were to make an argument that being a glorified personal trainer is better than being a glorified massage therapist, I think I could. And I do in this article. And again, I recognize how biased I am in this sense here. But it also kind of plays back to that idea that the population just is too sedentary. And this is the kind of argument that I make where I would rather be a glorified personal trainer than a glorified massage therapist. Again, no smut on personal trainers or massage therapists. You're just kind of playing a part in the model that I'm making here. But if I were to have my parents, let's say, go to one or the other, I would sooner send them to a glorified personal trainer than a glorified massage therapist. But I wouldn't send my parents, who hypothetically maybe don't work out enough, to somebody who is just going to, you know, spend most of the treatment session, or a good chunk of the treatment session, doing things that aren't pushing that health needle forward like we know that exercise and physical activity do, right? I think it was in the YouTube video that I made a couple weeks ago where I talked about how little exercise is needed to make positive health changes. There's no minimum effective dose of exercise, to say that in another way. Any exercise, any physical activity is going to add to the health benefits of that, what's called a dose-dependent response of physical activity, meaning that the more physical activity we put in the front of this health machine, the more health comes out the back end, to a point. And if we continue to pull on that thread, we can see how prioritizing things other than physical activity, like manual therapy or modalities, would lead to putting less physical activity into the front of this machine. And this is simply because we just don't have the amount of time that a lot of folks wish that we did, whether that's in individual treatment sessions or sessions throughout a week. I mean, folks who are going through ACL rehab are a great example where, you know, we might need 12, 18, you know, 24 months to really get this person where we need to be. And yet insurance companies are going to give you 4 months, 6 months at best. And so with the understanding here, the argument that I'm making is that with always, almost always, I don't want to make any blanket statements, almost always with more physical activity, we're going to get more health benefits at large. And that's not to say that the manual therapy or the passive modalities don't have an effect on people feeling better, or symptom modification or symptom reduction or getting them back to meaningful activities, or even if that meaningful activity is exercising, I recognize that all of those come into play. But I also recognize that we can use, in an intelligent manner, exercise and physical activity to produce the same effect, right? If you have an understanding of how to manipulate the training variables, if you even know what the training variables are at this point, if you're 40 episodes into this podcast, I hope that you do know what the training variables are. And if you don't, they're volume, frequency, intensity, and movement variation. And if you know how to learn those rules, then you know how to bend those rules and you know how to manipulate those rules so that you can create an environment with your advanced and expert understanding of the musculoskeletal system to produce symptom modifications in that person while still keeping their foot in the gym or keeping their foot in physical activity and producing those same health benefits. And so I ask you, if we look at two different groups of people, one group of people, glorified personal trainers, who can produce similar, if not the same, symptom modification outcomes with physical activity still being in place, enough physical activity to produce positive health benefits in the patient, and then a group of maybe glorified massage therapists who cannot wield physical activity as well as the other group, but instead can wield stuff like manual therapy, hands-on care, modalities, things of that nature, but have no real goal of pushing physical activity forward outside of maybe getting somebody to feel good enough to get back into physical activity, right? Group A, the glorified personal trainers, are going to keep people physically active for as long as possible, and there might not even be a break in physical activity at all. Whereas group B, the glorified massage therapists, may have a large break in physical activity, which is not nothing. There's not a, you know, net neutral where if this patient isn't active for a week or 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks or however long, it's not like they're going to just stay the same. They're going to actively decline. And we know this in sedentary populations, right? And sedentary being less than two or more days a week of moderate intensity strength training across all joints and 150 to 300 minutes a week of moderate intensity cardio, or 75 to 150 minutes a week of vigorous intensity cardio, right? If they're not hitting that, then they're actively declining. They're actively increasing their risk of morbidity and mortality. They're actively increasing the risk of things like osteoporosis, osteopenia, dyspnea, sarcopenia, all these penias that we don't want to talk about and we don't want to see in our patients. And so the difficult part here is, again, obviously I'm putting people into camps that they probably don't exist fully in. You know, I currently exist fully in the glorified personal trainer camp because all of my work with my athletes is remote, and so I have no means of getting hands-on, right? And folks still get better, and folks still don't get better. I've had plenty of folks that I've had to refer back to physical therapists because the things that we're doing just aren't working. And if you're listening to this and you say, well, that guy doesn't know what he's doing, I know that you also have patients that haven't gotten better because of what you're doing, and you've had to tell them, unfortunately, I don't know what else to do, and we're going to send you to somebody else to go in a different direction. And I know that, again, for the sake of this model that I'm producing here, that I'm putting people in camps that they likely don't exist in 100%, right? If you're somebody who does only hands-on care, then that's something that you need to look at, and I'm certain that everybody here doesn't just do 100% hands-on care, and vice versa. But the question is, how much of your treatment session is sedentary and how much is active? And is that activity pushing towards that needle? And if there's any activity, then it's probably going to be yes, it's pushing that needle forward. Again, it's not that your hands-on or passive care doesn't have a place. It's just that prioritizing it is going to put less physical activity in the front of that health machine. And with the additional understanding that physical activity can modify symptoms just as well as any other intervention, it begs the question, why wouldn't you prioritize physical activity and exercise as treatment? And personally, I think that the physical therapist who might not prioritize physical activity might just not know how to. And that might be the wrong appeal here, right? It might just be what is it, appeal to ignorance, where they just don't know the right way to do it. And I don't think that that's necessarily it, but I do think that there's sort of an illusion of explanatory depth when it comes to strength training, just as there likely is one with manual therapy and passive modalities and passive care, right? There's this illusion of explanatory depth where physical therapists see the word exercise or see the word strength training, and they don't really know that there's an entire world behind it. You know, the trope here is that physical therapists give out 3 sets of 10, you know, 4 exercises until the person feels better, until they forget to do them. And I don't think that's probably very far off for a big chunk of physical therapists. And again, it's not any fault of their own or your own, because we just didn't learn this sort of stuff in physical therapy school. At least I didn't, which is why I'm here. And so I do think it's partially this, I do think it's multifactorial, right? Where there's an idea that I don't really see the benefit of focusing a lot on strength training or physical activity as a treatment intervention, maybe because this person worked out in a way that produced the symptom at first. And so it's almost like, well, this person got hurt working out, or they hurt themselves in the gym, and so why would I put them into the gym again if that's just going to produce this state where they're not feeling great, right? Or it might be that I've seen hands-on and passive care work so well in the past, and it does work so well, that why would I even entertain anything else? You know, I can just spend this time getting them better, and then they'll be back out there. It might be a lack of understanding of regression to the mean, or that there is a natural history where things just progress back to a baseline in a, you know, certain amount of time based on the presentation. And it might just be that they're just not very versed on strength training in that world, periodization, strength coaching, that sort of thing. But just like I need to make sure that I'm looking towards manual therapists who are advanced in that world and who know things that I don't know, I need to ask that the physical therapists who don't know a whole lot, or who maybe don't know that they don't know a whole lot of the strength world, really reflect and say, do I, you know, I see these people who are able to make programs and without any hands-on care at all, get their patients better. And how does that work? How is it doing that? And why is it so different than what I'm doing? Because once we can start to reflect and say, I don't know all this stuff, but I see that everything else works, then there's these questions that need to happen, right? The self-scrutiny. Am I doing everything that I need to? Am I doing the things that I should be as far as learning, right? And I think a big question that needs to be asked for everybody is, are your patients hitting those physical activity guidelines, that low-hanging fruit? Because if we can get them to do that, symptoms aside, right, even if their symptoms aren't getting better, if we can get them close to or hitting those physical activity minimums, I mean, we're doing our job as healthcare providers to improve their morbidity and mortality, right? To improve their quality of life, to decrease their disability, to improve their ability to be healthy, however you want to define that. And I think that is a big question, and usually why I'm standing on the soapbox that I am today is, are your patients active enough? And are you the type of therapist who is prioritizing getting them active enough? And if not, then how can we get you there, and what needs to change? And so those are kind of my scattered thoughts on the subject. I think a glorified personal trainer is a great thing to be. And I think that a lot of people would be healthier if a lot of our physical therapists were glorified personal trainers. Go watch my YouTube video on the topic, read the article. And if you feel like you're having an illusion of explanatory depth when it comes to strength training, or you didn't know what those training variables are that I listed out, or you don't know how to write a periodized program, we have a ton of free information over at acrosscontinuum.com to teach you all of this stuff for free. And if you want hand-holding, we have courses as well. We have a mentorship. You can work directly with me. And I think I do a great job. I pat myself on the back. If you have any questions, go ahead and reach out to me on Instagram, through our website, or through email. And yeah, I hope you have a great day.